So we're beginning Be'ezus Hashem, a brand new perek, a new chapter. Daf Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, perek Zeh Boirer. Normally, the perek is called by the opening words of the perek. The opening words of this perek is not actually Zeh Boirer. The opening words of the perek are Dinei Mamonis B'Shloisha. So does anybody know why is this perek therefore called Zeh Boira? The answer is because the first perek in the Masechta was called Dinei Mamonos B'Shloisha. So you can't have two prokim called the same thing. So they go to the next words, Zeh Boira. So the introduction to the Mishnah, let's begin straight away. Dinei Mamonos B'Shloisha. Mamonos is B'Shloisha. As we've known, you need a bezdin of three people to adjudicate most monetary matters. That is the klal. Now, what we have never discussed is how you go about assembling the Beis Din. Yes, we've discussed how many you need. Yes, we've discussed whether they need to be mumchim or hedyotes. Remember, we said in most cases you don't need mumchim. But how do you decide on who will be the Beis Din? So you need to read the Mishnah. And for the moment, we'll translate literally and we'll see where this gets us. Zeh Boirer loy echot. Zeh boirer loy echot. So this one will choose one. We're just translating literally. Does one mean one dayon or one entire bezdin? We'll have to see, but for the moment, let's translate literally. So zeh boirer loy echot. This one will choose one. V'zeh boirer loy echod, and the other one will also choose one. V'shnehen boirerin lohem oyd echod. And then the two of them will then choose a third one. So each one of the two parties, there's Reuven and Shimon over here, both of them get to choose one. We're keeping this very literal for the moment because we don't know what one means, one bezdin or one dayan. And then the two of them will then choose a third. Divrei Rabbi Meir. V'chachomim oimrim, the chachomim, however, disagree. And they say, Shnei dayonin boirin lohen oid echod. Period. Rather than the two parties choosing the third dayon, rather, it is the two dayonim who are chosen by Reuben and Shimon, they get to choose who the third dayon is. So the machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachomim, who gets to choose the third? Is it the two parties, Reuben and Shimon, or is it the two dayonim who have been selected by Reuben and Shimon? That's machlokes number one. Now, before we see the continuation of the Mishnah, we're going to do something a little bit strange. Jump now to the opening line of the Gemara. Says the Gemara, "My, what does that mean?" Quote unquote, "Zeh boirer loy echod, zeh boirer loy echod." Quote unquote, what does that mean? Betlasa sagi? Question mark. With three, it would suffice. What does that mean? With three, it would suffice. Whoever said that three does not suffice? You can only ask a question, but surely three will suffice if somebody has expressed otherwise that three will not suffice. So how did the Gemara understand the Mishnah? This is, by the way, why we jump to the Gemara. How did we translate those words in the Mishnah to somehow be allowed to ask the question, but surely three is enough? Well, who said otherwise? And the answer is, it goes back to what is translation of the word Zeh Boirer Loy Echod. This one will choose Echod, one. One what? Now look at the very top Rashi. The very first Rashi, have a look at the top Rashi. Says Rashi, Zeh boirer loy echod, says Rashi. Mashma ze boirer loy pezdin echod. Shehein gimel. So Rashi says the implication is not that each one chooses one dayon, but each one chooses one entire bezdin. Veze echod, and then the other one will choose another bezdin. That's harei shisha. That's now six altogether. Veshneihem boirim lohem oid echod, and then the two of them, Reuven and Shimon, will now choose a third bezdin. Well, if that's the case, harei tesha, you've got nine altogether. V'hainu dekometame, and that's why the Gemara is matmia. My ze boirer ha betzlosa sagi, surely three is enough. So let's explain. If translation of the word ze boirer loy echod is, and this one will choose one dayon, and then the other one will choose a second dayon, and then the two of them will choose a third dayon, well, we have three dayonim altogether. That's perfect. So how can the Gemara turn around and ask a question? But surely three is enough. What type of strange question is that? We just said, choose three. Reuven chooses one. Shimon chooses the second. And then together they have to come up with a third. So Rashi says it must be that what? That the Gemara understood that when it says Zeh Boir Eloi Echod, that he'll choose one. It doesn't mean he'll choose one Dayon. He'll choose one Bezdin. So Reuven will say, yes, I want Bezdin A. And Shimon will say, I want Bezdin B. And then on top of that, they'll have to come up with Bezdin C. That's nine Dayonim altogether. And that's why the Gemara is asking a very fair question. Why would you need nine? Surely three is enough. But Rashi is really working backwards. In other words, it's from the question of the Gemara that we see how the Gemara understood the Mishnah. Meaning, how would we have translated the Mishnah? I think we all would have translated the Mishnah. He teaches where he chooses one dayon. And then the second one chooses one dayon, and then they come up with a third. Well, if that's a translation, then obviously we cannot understand why is the Gemara asking the question, but three is enough. Yes, obviously, that's what the Mishnah says. So Rashi's working backwards and he says, by virtue of the fact, if I see that the Gemara asks a question that surely three is enough, it must be that the Gemara understood that it doesn't mean they each choose one dayon, but rather they each choose one bezdin. Altogether, that's going to be nine dayonim. If that's the case, then the Gemara is asking a fair question. Why would you need nine? Three is enough. Yes.
How does this work according to the lashon of the Chachamim, who say shnei dayonin borerin?
But what do you mean? Say again.
How does this whole inyan that explanation Rashi etc. of the nine and Beis Din work according to the Chachamim's lashon, who they say shnei dayonin borerin? They clearly say two judges.
Right. Fair question. We'll see. So Tosis is very upset with this. We'll see Tosfos, but let's continue the Mishnah, and then we'll see Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. How could you possibly translate that Zeh Boir Lo Yechod means they choose a Bezdin? The problem is, as strange as it may seem, that translation, that's true, but at the end of the day, how can it be otherwise? If it really does mean choose one Dayon, so why is the Gemara busy asking, but three is enough? Well, obviously it's enough, and we already said you have to choose three. So Lechaira Rashi is Muchach from the Gemara. From the Gemara's question, Lechaira, we see that Rashi is right. So we'll see more about this in Tosfos, but let's for the moment continue the mission. So we're going to see a number of machlokes in between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. So machlokes number one is, Rabbi Meir said, each one of the two parties will choose the third one. And the Chachamim say, no, it's the two Dayonim who choose the third one. That's Machlokas number one. Now continue the Mishnah. Zeh poisol Dayonoi shel zeh, v'zeh poisol Dayonoi shel zeh. Each one can disqualify the other one's Dayan. So Reuven comes to Bezdin, I'm opting for Dayan Pliny, and Shimon says, I'm going for Dayan Almoini. Each one has the ability to say, no, I'm sorry, I don't accept that Dayan. Divrei Rabbi Meir. V'chachomim ha'emrim, no, not at all. You cannot disqualify the other one's Dayan without some halachic basis to do so. V'chachomim ha'emrim, Amosai, when is that? That's only bizman shemevi aleihem raya. That's only if you bring a proof. Shehem krovim or ipsulim. They're either relatives, which disqualifies them, or they're apostle. What does it mean, apostle? Will be an example of somebody who's apostle leedus. Besides for a korov, means if he's over averas or involved in some activities that disqualify him. Aval im hoyu. But if, as far as we know, they are kosher dayonim, or mumchin mipi bezdin, or they are officially sanctioned mumchin by bezdin, ein yochel poisle. Then I'm sorry, you cannot poisle them. So this is now the second machlokes. According to Rabbi Meir, the first one opted for his dayon, and then Shimon says, no, I'm not having him on the bezdin. And the Chachamim say, I'm sorry, you've got no right to disqualify him unless you can back up your claim by proving that he's disqualified halachically. Because he's either related, or he's a korov or apostle. But otherwise, you cannot. That's the second machlokes. Third machlokes now. Ze poisel edov shel ze. V'zeh poisel eidov shel zeh. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, not only does each party have the right to disqualify the other one's dayon, which the Chachon disagreed with, but Rabbi Meir continues that and says, so too we can disqualify their eidim. So Reuven brings to Bezdin two witnesses who are obviously going to testify in his favor. Shimon looks at them and says, no, I'm sorry. I'm not having them testifying in my case. Divrei Rabbi Meir. And the Chachamim say, once again, they're having nothing of it. Amosai, when is that the case? Bizman shemevi aleihen raya. Shehem krovim oipsulim. You cannot possibly disqualify them, or not accept them, unless you can bring a proof that halachically they're unacceptable. I.e., they're krovim or ipsulim, avlim or yuksherim. But if, as far as we know, they are kosher, einoi, yochoil, lepoislon, you cannot disqualify them. By the way, this is inyona diyoma. Why is it inyona diyoma? Because while preparing for a chuppah, it's a strange thing. We know that under the chuppah, there's somebody who reads the ksuba, then there's six rabbonim or other people who say the brachas, and then you have two Aden. It's become a funny world in which the Aden could be any Tom, Dick, and Harry. But the brachas, all big Rav, big this, big that, when in fact the opposite should be true. Who can say the brachas under the chuppah? Anybody, as long as he's a male and Jewish. But to be Aden, that's far more serious as qualifications. Who can be a valid aid? Not only that, reading the ksuba has become a whole big kavod. It's actually not a kavod at all. Why bichlal do we read a ksuba under the chuppah? That's not part of the wedding ceremony. The wedding ceremony is Baruch Pri HaGofen, the brachas, the sheva brachas. The answer is, and this is related to sugyas that we've learned earlier on, there is always two stages in every marriage, the erusin and the nisuin. Very badly translated, we call that the engagement, but it's not the engagement, it's betrothing. What we nowadays call engagement, halachically, has no standing at all. Nowadays, what used to be? It used to be, and this is the opening mission in Kiddushin, or Isha Niknis, Bekesef, Beshtar, Bebiyah, so he betroths her. At that stage, even though they're not yet living together as husband and wife, but she's considered a married woman. If anybody else has now relations with her, he's killed. Nowadays, we don't have the erusin. What we call the engagement is really just you break a glass and you sort of tentatively agree to a date and you get married. But there's no halachic, as it were, binding between them. So when do we do the erusin? The answer is we do the erusin and the nisuin all under the chuppah. So he gives the ring, for example. That's the erusin. Ha'isha mekudeshes bekesef. Afterwards, you do all the sheva brachas. That's the nisuin. So we're really doing two for the price of one. In order to split up the erusin and the nisuin, you need some type of hefsek. So what do? So they read the ksuba. What else should they read out? Newspaper? So they read out the ksuba. So essentially, reading of the ksuba is not part of the process whatsoever and shouldn't really be deemed a kibud. And the emes is that in olden days, apparently, history tells us, do you know who used to read the ksuba? The shamash, the gabbai of the shul. It was just a job that needed to get done. But nowadays, it's become a whole complicated thing, and therefore, normally mechaber the rov, etc., etc. Now, as we mentioned, all of that is less important. What's the most important? The Eidim. Why is the Eidim so important when it comes to Kiddushin? So we're veering a little bit off topic, but this is Inyan HaDayim. Eidim, when it comes to Kiddushin, one needs to know this very, very important principle, is different to all other Eidim B'chol HaTorah Kula. In what way? If somebody, for example, was Mechalel Shabbos, he drove in his car on Shabbos, he couldn't care less. Now, if there was no Eidim, so it's true, we cannot kill him in Beis Din. Does that mean that he's not a Mechalel Shabbos? Absolutely, he's a Mechalel Shabbos. Happens to be that nobody saw it, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw it. So he's absolutely a Mechalel Shabbos, and he's going to get his just desserts in Olam Habo. So the Eidim over there, their job is just to clarify that which is not known. But whether they do or don't clarify it, it definitely happened. Whereas in the case of Kiddushin, if there's no Eidim, then there is no Kiddushin. If a man would meet a woman in the street and give her a ring and say, "Hari at mekudeshes li b'taba azu kedas Moshe v'Yisrael," if there were no Eidim to see it, then they're not married. It's not, well, they are married, but we just don't have confirmation because there was no Eidim. So the Eidim with regard to Kiddushin are in fact a part of the Kiddushin process. What we call that, the Lashon of the Gemara, is it's Eidei Kiyum Hadovo. In the case of Chilul Shabbos or any other Aveira, it's Eidim just Lebirur Hadovo. Just to clarify that it happened. But whether they do or don't, that doesn't change the facts on the ground. It definitely happened. We happen not to know about it, so we cannot punish him. But in the case of Kiddushin, if Eidim didn't see it, then it didn't happen. Because the way that you perform Kiddushin is you give a wife the ring in front of Eidim. All of this, by the way, is learned from this week's parasha, Parshas Chayisara, Eliezer and Rivka, etc., etc., etc.
Rabbi, if you approached a chashav rab at a chasana, the most kind said, "Listen, I'd like you to be my aide." He wouldn't be insulted. He would certainly understand, "Wow, that's the biggest kibbutz you can give me."
Yes, so I can tell you a little secret. When my oldest son got married, Yisrael, the two aides, and one of them was his Rosh Hashiva of Yeshiva Katana. In fact, most of you know him, Rabbi Avram Spitzer. Avram Spitzer is his Rosh Hashiva, and the Mashkiach in his Yeshiva was the second aide.
Wow.
Today, my son is getting married. He's considering asking Rabbi Kornfeld to be the aide. I don't know whether Rakunf will be there, the chuppah, but the other aide is one of his Rosh Hashivas in Yeshiva. So essentially, that's the most choshev kibbutz. Who says the brachas doesn't make a difference? It could be the uncle, it could be a friend, it could be the brother, it could be as long as he's male and Jewish. Okay, back to our subject. So that's a very, very important principle.
If someone doesn't know all of the halachos of Kiddushin, should they turn down to be an aide at a chasna?
No. as long as there's a competent Masada Kiddushin. I was recently asked to be Masada Kiddushin for a former Talmud of mine, Rav Moshe Zedek, you remember. In fact, many of you remember Reuben Rosenberg. So his son, Shmuel, who's a long-standing Talmud of mine, got married about half a year ago, and he asked me to Masada Kiddushin, and actually I said no. And the reason I said no was because I've never studied these halachas. I'm not competent in the halachas. So it's one of these things that if everything goes to plan, everything plain sailing, yes, we could all be Masada Kiddushin. We just follow the instructions in Art Scroll. But if something all of a sudden crops up and sometimes there's complications and then a mistake, etc., etc., you need to know the halachas. If you want a scary shaila, my uncle was asked this shaila. In Bnei Brak 2 weeks ago, there was a chuppah. And in the middle of the chuppah, a siren went off. So the whole crowd disappeared. The chosman kala, poor things, were left standing there with one or two people left. Now the question was, can you carry on the chuppah? Because you need to have the shel brachas in front of 10 people, but there's no 10 people. But they started with 10 people. So it's true, that's not quite a day-to-day question. There was a famous chuppah in London.
What was the pesach there in Bnei Brak, though?
I'm not sure. There was a chuppah in London where the first person to get the bracha by mistake said the second bracha instead of the first one. There was a chuppah here recently. I was not asked this shaila, but we discussed it. You know when you get to the last bracha, the bracha achrita. So very often the person who says the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, then he pauses and everybody sings. Asher Baruch Sosim. So he was waiting, and for some reason the crowd did not begin singing all the bachrim. So he's there holding the kos in his hand. So apparently, this might sound funny, but this is actually what happened. He said, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. He waits for the crowd, and then he blurted out, no, why not singing? The question was, what happens now? Do you begin with the bracha? Is that a hefsek? Is it not
a hefsek? Right, it's a hefsek.
So there could be 101. These are the simple shailas. There is the very, very, very famous story with Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein was once Masada Kiddushin. He had the kos with wine filled to the brim in his hand. When all of a sudden the mother of the kala went up to Rav Moshe and said, I have to admit to you that actually I committed adultery and this daughter of mine is a mamzeres. She was born out of wedlock. Okay, now this is also not exactly a day-to-day shaila. Rav Moshe on the spot. So Rav Moshe was unmoved and he said, you're not believed. You don't have the halachic status of an aid. You need to aid him. And with that, he proceeded to the Masada Kiddush.
Did the groom or anybody around him hear the question?
I don't know, but Rav
Kershenbaum. Oh my God.
Rav Kershenbaum once said over this story, and he said it so beautifully. He said, those who were there said that the godless was not that Rav Moshe paskened that on the spot, but they testified that the kos of wine didn't even wobble in his hand. Anyway, there can be thousands of shailas. I was once under chuppah, and I was reading the ksuba, and one of the names, the father had three names, and they, for some reason, missed out one of the names. So I didn't know the halacha, so I turned around to the Masada Kiddushin. What do you do? Do you have to rewrite the ksuba, etc., etc., etc.? There could be 1,000 shailas. There could be 1,000 shailas, and one needs to know. Therefore, you have to be a yodea tiv gittim kedushin. But an aid, if you're asked to be an aid, if the Masada Kiddushin is happy with you, then you just follow instruction.
Rabbi David is going to be the Masada Kiddushin at Alex's wedding.
Wow, special.
I was blessed. What a miracle.
Everybody else, David, I take it, Rav Kornfeld is your Masada Kiddushin.
Correct.
Okay, very beautiful. Rightio. So we have finished the Mishnah. We've seen three machloiksim between the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir. So let's now focus for a moment on the first machloikus. Dimei momenes b'shloisha ze boirer loy echod. So what's translation of the word Zeh Boir Le'echad? This one chooses one. One what? So we surely, all of us, would have translated chooses one Dayan. As Larry pointed out, that definitely seems to be the translation because the Chachamim then continue and they say, Shnei Dayanim Boirim Le'echad Echad. You see that only two have been selected so far. Not two Bezdins, but two Dayanim. The problem is when you get to the Gemara's question, because the Gemara says, "My, look at the Gemara. We saw this before, but let's say it again. My zeh boir eloi echad, the zeh boir eloi echad, quote unquote." What does that mean? That this one chooses one, and that one chooses one. Betlosa with three sagi would suffice. Question mark. So this is where Rashi proved in the beginning of the Mishnah, it must be that what? That the Gemara apparently, strangely, has understood that Zeh Boir Eloi Echad does not mean choose one Dayan, but rather choose one Bezdin. So Reuven will choose an entire Bezdin. Shimon will then choose another entire Bezdin, and then they've got to come up with a third Bezdin. Well, that's nine Dayanim altogether. Well, that's why the Gemara is asking, that's strange. Why would you need nine? Surely three is enough.
Maybe they're talking about a case with this three litigants.
No. There's just Zeh v'Zeh. So let's have a look. There's the Gemara. Hochi ka'omar. This is what's meant. What it means is, Kasha Zeh Boir Eloi Bezdin Echod, when one of them chooses one Bezdin, the Zeh Boir Eloi Bezdin Echod, Shneyen Boir Eloi Oid Echod. What on earth has the Gemara answered? Didn't the Gemara just basically repeat the words of the Mishnah? When one chooses a Bezdin and then the other one chooses a Bezdin, well, then they go ahead, the two of them choose another Bezdin. Yeah, but that was the Gemara's question. Why would you need nine? Totally unclear what was the Gemara's answer. So have a look at Rashi. The first Rashi on the Gemara. Hochi komar. The kol echod poisel oisai bezdin. These are the missing words. If each one puzzles the other bezdin, shebirer chaveroi, that his friend shows ve'enoi roitze lodun lefonov, and doesn't want to be judged in front of him. Then Shneyen Boirim Lomechot Kloimar Ein Yecholim Lochuf Zeh. They cannot force each other to accept the Bezdin that they've chosen. Elo Boirim Bezdin. They have to come up with a Bezdin. She Yisratzu Boi Shneyhem. That they are both happy with. So what does that mean? Go back now all the way to the very first line of the Mishnah. Let's reread the Mishnah in light of the Gemara's answer, as explained by Rashi. Dine Momenus Bishloisha, that was the headline. Zeh Boir Eloi Echad, v'zeh Boir Eloi Echad. It sounded like, this is the way the Gemara initially understood, we've fallen away from it. It sounds like this one must choose one Bezdin, and the other one must choose a second Bezdin, and then the two of them must come up with a third Bezdin. Well, if you translate it as must, well, how many are going to come up with it at the end of the day? They're going to have nine Dayanim, and that's why the Gemara said, that's strange, you only need three. It turns out that the Gemara's teretz is, no, it's not that they must, it's what if. Meaning, if one of them chooses a Bezdin, if, not that he must, If one of them chooses a Beis Din and the other one is not happy with it, and then he comes up with his Beis Din, and yet now the first one is not happy with it, well, then Shneim, the two of them, will have to come up with a joint Beis Din. So, of course, you only need three at the end of the day. We're not saying you choose three, I'll choose three, and then together we'll choose another three. No, that's how the Gemara initially understood, and that was the big question. Why on earth would I need nine Dayanim? Rather, the Gemara is saying it means if, capital I. And that's why I look back into the Gemara. When the Gemara says at the end of that second line, Hochi, comma, Kesheh, underline the word Kesheh. It's true, the Lashon of the Mishnah was Zeh Boireh Le'echod. So, technically, how should that be translated? This one must choose the Beis Din. The Gemara is qualifying as, no, not this one must. Kesheh, if, when one of them chooses a Beis Din, in the event that the second one is unhappy, he can dismiss that Beis Din and come up with his own. The only problem is that the first one might say, well, thank you very much, I'm not happy with your Beis Din either. If that's the case, then the two of them are going to have to come up with a final Beis Din. So, of course, you only need three Dayanim at the end of the day.
But again, this is assuming that they're talking, that the Mishnah is talking about choosing a Beis Din and not choosing a Dayan. Right. It still leaves us with that problem.
No. So according to Rashi, we remain with that. The only thing we backtrack is, rather than translating as this one must choose the Beis Din, and then the second one must choose another Beis Din, it's not must. Rather, it is can.
So then how do they explain the Chacham's Lashon of Shnei Dayan?
We'll get to that. So according to that, it's he can go for another Beis Din. Not that he must choose an additional Beis Din on top of the first one. Why on earth would you need more than three Dayanim? Rather, he can. Kesheh, in the event that the first one chooses a Beis Din and the second one is not happy with it, well, then he can come up with his Beis Din. Problem is that the first one might be unhappy with the second one's Beis Din as well. So they'll have to come up with a joint Beis Din. So in the final analysis, of course, you only need three Dayanim. Okay, we'll have to hold it over here. We'll see Ms. Shabbat tomorrow morning.